We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Joining us now on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline is legendary boxer Roy Jones Jr., who at the age of 49, still fought again this year, an amazing career record, a multiple-time world champion in four weight classes, middleweight, super middleweight, light heavyweight, and heavyweight, and is the only boxer in history to start his pro career as at light middleweight and go on to win a heavyweight title. Also fought for the U.S. in the 1988 Summer Olympics and won a silver medal there. And Roy Jones Jr. is with us now. Roy, how you doing, man?
I'm doing wonderful. How you doing?
We're great, man. Good to have you with us.
Roy, is it weird when you hear people like read off your accolades like that? Because my partner could have read another, 5 minutes worth of accolades. But when you hear that, I mean, you got to feel pretty proud.
Yeah, it's sort of weird, but it's very proud, very refreshing because of how wonderful God has been to me. I love hearing it all.
Roy, as I mentioned, you turned 49 years old in January. The next month, you fight again. I know, we've seen guys that are older, more recently fighting, but to win a fight at 49 years old is pretty amazing. It was your 75th career professional fight. Will that be it? Is that the last one, or are you going for 50?
I think that's it. I would like to win for 50. I want for one more, but I think that may be it.
Roy, how does your body feel?
That's the problem is your body starts to break down more. You start to see yourself suffering more injuries. Uh-huh. There's a lot of things start to happen, and you realize then that it's not about you not having the heart or the will to work or none of those things. What happens is your body just starts to say, you know what? I can't take what I used to take. I used to could do it, but you put so much on me that now I'm limited as to how much I want to take. And to show you that, your tendons start tearing, things start going wrong. And when you know that starts to happen, you realize, okay, now I have to start doing this at a very limited weight. Mm-hmm. So I slowed myself down. I said, you know what? If I can't do it full speed, I may well stop.
No doubt about it. Roy Jones Jr. with us. Roy, I'm curious your training. When you think back to when you were in your 20s, even your 30s, and now nearing 50, how did you train for a fight? How different was training for a fight at different ages?
Well, when you're younger, you could go, and the recovery time was quick.
Mm-hmm.
When you got middle age, you started taking a little bit more time to recover. When you get older, you have to limit how much you go hard because it's almost impossible to recover if you go too hard.
We're talking with legendary boxer Roy Jones Jr., who we mentioned. Yeah, Roy at one point was 49-1, and then some back and forth after that. But to win 49 of your first 50 fights, I mean, that's unheard of, Roy.
Hold on. Then the only loss was back there at that point was a freaking disqualification. That should have never happened.
So what happened? Refresh our memory about that. What happened?
The referee said, obey my commands at all times.
Right.
The guy was short. The guy was about 5'8". So the guy acted like he went down. I don't know what happened. I didn't hit him, so I didn't know if he went down. The ref didn't say stop. The ref went right to my left side. So I tapped with the right. The ref still didn't say stop. All I'm waiting for is the ref to say stop. The ref said stop. I back up and take the eight, and he'll take the eight count. But the ref never says stop. So I don't stop. I got to go till he go down to the ref says stop, or he come get me. Because if I turn and walk away, and he come from that knee and hit me, I'm out. Or I could be out. So I couldn't take that risk. So I hit him. Ref didn't say that, so I tapped him again. Then he acted like he's all out cold. He really wasn't, but I heard the corner say, go down. So he went down at the corner, see it, and it disqualified me.
That is bogus, too, that they did that. And you proved it because, I think, 4 or 5 months later, you fought Montel Griffin again, and you knocked him out in the first round.
5 months later, rematch, I need my crown. First round, one punch, and he sat down. Don't get me mad because I'm out already. Took title from fighters who were champs already. Y'all must have forgot. You know how it went.
You still got it.
I love it.
So really, you're right. I'm not saying 49-1. You're really 49-0. You were 49-0 as of November of 2003. So yeah, that's true. And then, you know, you get older. What are you gonna? You're gonna lose some fights later in your career. But in your prime, you took care of business. Everybody you fought against.
The problem was with me that people didn't realize in my prime, I make it different from most people's prime. Like unlike the, and I'm not stepping against some of these guys, no. But unlike the people that they call pound for pound best fighters, in my prime, I didn't lose rounds. The long fights, I didn't lose rounds.
Right. Yeah, that's a good point. And we're talking with Roy Jones Jr. Roy, when you think back to all the fights, what are the ones that stand out the most to you?
Well, somebody asked me that this morning. It's kind of crazy you asked that because somebody just asked me that
this
morning.
That's funny.
And I said it's very difficult because it's like when you look at it, for me, you got to go with James Hunter fight stood out for me a whole lot because that was my opportunity to beat the man so that I could become the man.
Right.
But then the Reggie Johnson fight was very operative to me because I fought a guy that my daddy trained and was in the same gym with me, and I knew back in 91 that one day we would cross paths, and just like I predicted in 91, we crossed paths in 97. Then you had to finish the other fight, a guy who came back from a broken neck who still had the heart inside of fighting me, who I knew I was much bigger, better class than he was at that time, but still, for him to come back from a broken neck and fight me, that still says a lot. Then you had me, even at a later age in my career, the Jeff Lacy fight. So crazy that my hand was like fast as they'd ever been before in a Jeff Lacy fight above 40 years old. Then I had to fight the Richard Hall fight was one of my favorite because of the performance and the way that everything shook out. And I guess the last but not least was the John Ruiz fight.
You know, what was your greatest memory from early on in your career? You know, when you first, you know, maybe it was, fighting in Las Vegas or a big pay-per-view event or something where you're like, holy hell, this is pretty cool.
No, my first memory was I was at Trump Plaza in Atlantic City.
Okay.
In my second pro fight, I was fighting a guy by the name of Stephon the Static Johnson. Stephon Johnson was 9 wins, 2 losses, 5 KOs. I was 1 win, 1 KO, 1 round. We scheduled to fight for 8 rounds as a junior middleweight. This guy sparred with Simon Brown on a weekly basis. So he had the best experience because at that time, I think Simon Brown was the WBC welterweight champion of the world. Well, I wanted to prove that I was championship caliber at that time because I was hoping that I could fight for a junior middleweight title before I couldn't make the weight anymore. And to fight a guy like that who was sparring with a current welterweight champion would have shown that if I can beat this guy, not only beat him but stop him, I have to be somewhat of a championship caliber myself. I did that, and I still yet was denied by my father the opportunity to go fight for the junior middleweight title. So that was my most memorable time. But that was the first time that I ever got an opportunity to fight and be in the crowd and be amongst the casinos and all the fight fans. That was big to me. And that was also on NBC. That was my first televised fight, first time on at a casino basically fighting. And that just was, that was like the big time to me because at that time, and then the city of New Jersey was the Las Vegas of the East.
Right.
Yeah. That's pretty cool. You know, we're talking with legendary boxer Roy Jones Jr. Roy, you know, when you go into fights, I'm sure you watch tons of tape and you analyze and you prepare for the boxer in tendencies, just like any other athlete does as they prepare for a big sporting event. You know, you've got a lot of TKOs, a lot of KOs, a lot of unanimous decisions. Did you ever go into a fight saying, man, I'm going to have to knock this guy out. I'm going to have to knock him out quick. I don't want to go the distance with this certain guy. Like, how was your strategy when you went into some of these fights?
One time I went to a fight and I knew I had to knock a guy out. I fought Arthur Wano in Reno, Nevada. It was high altitude in Reno, Nevada, but that wasn't my problem. Problem was I've been playing basketball all week with Dan Goose at the Y. Me and Dan Goose have been battling every day with our team at the Y, every single day. On that Tuesday or Wednesday, I jammed 2 feathers on my left hand. On that Wednesday, I know for a fact, I jammed 2 feathers on my right hand. By the time I got to Friday and I weighed in, I had 4 jammed fingers, 2 on each hand. When I got my hands wrapped that Saturday night, my hands were throbbing. I could feel my heart beat in my hands. That's how bad my hands were hurting. So my dad put the gloves on. They were throbbing even worse. Every time my heart beat, I felt it in both hands. So I told a friend of mine named Lemmy Belson, I said, listen, man, he's called him Maine. That was his nickname. He boxed with me at the time. I said, listen, man, I'm going to hit this dude with a jab, pause, overhand right as hard as I can. if I don't knock him out, I have to stop because my hands are not going to make it past one round. I went out there that first round. He came at me like a hailstorm. I boxed him, boxed him, boxed him. I set him up. He went a jab, pause, overhand right, and knocked him into a coma almost.
Oh my God. So game plan executed.
The scariest, listen, the scariest knockout I ever had.
Yeah.
Like he had a seizure, his head went back, his eyeball went back.
Oh my God.
Like, I was scared.
Was he all right?
I hit him so hard. Yeah, he was all right.
All right, good.
I hit him so hard it scared me, but I had to because if I didn't knock him out, I couldn't go 10 rounds at night.
You ever feel bad? You know, when you not the
no,
time.
I feel bad because I had to do it. I had to
no, I get it. I get it. I get it. But when you see a guy with his eyes rolling back of his head, you're like, ugh, I hope he's not, you know, seriously.
Yeah, I was like, I was like, goodness, I hope I didn't seriously hurt him, but I didn't mean to. But it was either him or me. One of us wasn't going to make it out after that first round. He had not make it out, or I had not make it out because I was going to be good to go to second.
Right, you know, it feels like today that guys are like, don't fight all that often. And I'm looking back at your record. Early in 1991, you fought Kevin Daigle on August 3rd, and then 4 weeks later, you fought Lester Yarborough.
Uh-huh.
In 92, you made four fights in like 7 months.
Yep.
It's crazy. You actually fought five times that year. You know, guys not fighting enough now is it the right way now? Should you have had more time between fights or no?
No, as an up and coming fighter, the more you get in that range, the better it is for you.
Yeah.
Because you learn and you get to come back and capitalize off what you learn each fight because you wait too long, you may forget what you learned last fight or you may not see things good enough. But if you put it right back out there, you know it and you're right back to continuing to advance. When you wait so much time, take so much time, not only do you not advance as much, but sometimes you lose a step. It's like I tell people, if you look at pitchers in baseball, a lot of times people don't know what they're getting until the off season is over with because every off season, a guy declines a little bit more because he takes off.
Right.
During the season, you never see him decline. But when the off season, you come back the next season, you notice a big decline in him. Why? Because the off time gives the body a chance to settle down and forget something. And when you come back, you don't remember everything you had or everything is not the same as it was. But when you go through it every day, it's not a problem. So if you can continue to go, it stays more fresh in your mind. Your body stays more in tune with it. You won't have as many injuries. Everything will work fine. When you start putting those long breaks between, that's when you start finding out things about yourself that you didn't know and that you couldn't control.
Roy, I know you played yourself in the movie Southpaw, which is a boxing movie, came out a few years ago. You've been in a few movies. When you look at boxing movies, I don't know, maybe the Rocky movies, maybe Raging Bull, the Creed. What are your favorite boxing movies?
Well, you got to like the Rocky movies just because of what Stallone portrayed in those movies.
Yeah.
And it really portrayed Arturo Gotti's life in a sense where before we knew who Arturo Gotti was. So that's what made Arturo Gotti so good because of the fictitious person that Rocky had already made us think of as a fighter.
Right.
And Arturo Gotti was everything that he ever depicted in the movie and some. So that's the good thing about the Rocky movies. I like the movie The Fighter. I like the Million Dollar Baby. I like pretty much all the fight stories because, to be honest with you, there are very good stories like that in almost every gym.
Yeah.
Every gym of fighters has one of those stories that could be a movie at any time.
Yeah, that's cool.
Yep.
Roy Jones Jr. with us on the hotline. Roy, was the Floyd Mayweather Conor McGregor fight good for boxing or bad for boxing?
Say what now?
Was the Conor McGregor Floyd Mayweather fight good for boxing or bad for boxing?
Well, it was good for boxing because it got a lot of people interested that normally don't watch boxing. It was bad for boxing in the sense that they let a guy with no fights, with an 0-0 record, come fight a guy that's 49-0, and that's not a fair matchup on how you look at it. Even though people don't know no any better, that's why it went so well because people don't know any better. So people didn't know what to expect. But to have a guy who has a 0-0 record in boxing fight a guy 49-0 as a fighter in boxing is almost ridiculous. So it's like this guy has no professional experience as a boxer. You don't give him a chance. And that's what it really was. But people don't believe that. So they had to pay to see what most people that are in the sport already knew. And the same thing was vice versa. When James Toney fought the guy he fought, I mean, he didn't have a chance in the MMA with that dude because the dude was just you in his field.
Right.
You in his field, you can't stand up in his field. So the guy took him down and it's over with. 30 seconds, pretty much, you know?
Yeah.
Same thing, vice versa. Now, with myself and Anderson Silva, the reason it was so good was because not only did Anderson Silva have boxing experience, but he also is a tall southpaw, which is what nobody likes to face. So he's a tall southpaw with good boxing experience. We had about 15 professional fights, I believe. So this was not something that wasn't realistic. He knows what he's doing. He's very dangerous because he's a tall southpaw. He's athletic like I am. He's spontaneous. He'll do anything like I did. So it's like we were going to fight a fight that was going to be a very skillful fight because both of us know what it's like to be in a boxing match. Conor McGregor knew nothing about a boxing match.
Right.
Nothing. Except that you wear gloves and that's where it ended.
Hey, Roy, in your eyes, and take yourself out of the conversation because I know you're a confident guy, who's the greatest boxer of all time?
Muhammad Ali. With me included. It's still Muhammad Ali.
Still Muhammad Ali. Where do you put Floyd on the list?
I love Floyd. I think Floyd is really a very good fighter, but Floyd is the best businessman pound for pound ever. I give him that.
Yeah.
But the problem with a boxer, with a fighter, with me, is that I come from a world of old school people, and it's harder for me to just give you something until I see you under pressure. That's why I love LeBron James, but LeBron James is probably the most phenomenal athlete ever. But in my book, he'll never be better than Michael Jordan because he didn't persevere and go through the hard times like Michael Jordan did and stay put until he persevered. So you have to persevere, go through those hard times, and then you reap the benefits of the good times. And those good times are so much better when you persevere through the hard times to get them. When you leave and go join a super team to get it, that's not the same to me. And then when you come back and do it, that's still not the same to me because you could have did that without leaving as good as you are. You're one of the best, blessed, gifted athletes to ever play the game of basketball. You can win. You just got to stick through the hard times and learn how to win. And it doesn't take another superstar to teach you how to win, or you'd never really be truly looked upon as a superstar because you couldn't figure it out yourself. Superstars figured out themselves. You didn't have to tell Mike how to win. Mike figured it out. You didn't have to tell Julius Erving how to win. Julius Erving figured it out. You didn't have to tell Larry Bird or Magic Johnson how to win. They figured it out. Most great athletes figured it out. You don't have to take them and put them with another great athlete for them to learn it.
Hey, Roy, you think LeBron would have been a good boxer had he got into
LeBron
boxing?
LeBron would have been good at anything he wanted to because LeBron is one of the most gifted athletes you'll ever see in your lifetime.
Yeah.
LeBron would have been good at anything he wanted to, baseball, football, anything he wanted to.
Well, just like you, you're good at everything, and
exactly.
and you are a famous rapper too. You
rapped for us earlier.
You gave us a little demo there earlier in this interview. But tell us about the new single. We can get it on Spotify and iTunes.
Yes, on iTunes, Spotify. It's called Yeah. It's going to be Body Hit Banger Volume 2. It's the first single off of the album. It's called Yeah. Very inspirational song. Me and myself and SM Bullet, and I think you'll like it. It's a good hype song, and I think you'll really enjoy it.
Who's the coolest rapper or
Will Smith?
No, I want to say that
Run DMC.
The coolest rapper that you had a chance to collaborate with or had to work on something with.
Me?
Yeah.
My favorite was Scarface.
Oh, that's old school.
A lot of Scarface. It's gonna be my coolest, of course. Definitely, he's on this Bible too. But I have worked with some really cool guys. I collaborated with some really cool guys. Mike Jones, Juvenile, Mr. Magic. It's just the list goes on, man. Bun B. The list goes on. I've worked with a lot of good artists, but I like Scarface because he was my favorite artist. He was the reason I thought rap was so cool.
Roy, can we hear something from you before we let you go?
can you spit a little something, a freestyle or something off your album?
It says, Roy gon' ball, cause Roy got bread. Roy keep at least six of them up in the bed. Roy do it big, cause Roy got it made. Rest in peace, Mr. Magic forever is by the head. Look, ain't nothing changed. Nah, I be on the same thing. I'm just laid back. OG, I'm trying to maintain. I don't smoke dope. I don't drink. I don't gang bang. I just let the money pop. A couple thousand when I train. Tell them that I'm still sponsored by Rival. Ha, still sponsored by Jordan. I ain't tripping. I'm just telling you, I'm gonna... regardless, taking trips out to Russia, had to stop out in New Orleans picking up. There's some bullet car right now. He be the hottest. He be rapping what I'm rapping. Huh? Ain't no half stepping when it comes to whooping ass. I'm giving lessons. Huh? If you don't believe me, tell me we can tear it up. Tell Anderson Silva to stop ducking me and set it up and stop playing.
Nice.
That's awesome. I forgot. You mentioned that in your rap that you're the first boxer ever to be sponsored by Jordan, right?
You better believe it.
How cool is that? And you got a chance to obviously to work with MJ.
The greatest basketball player, to me, the one of the greatest athletes ever. And to be able to work with MJ, represent his thing, one of the best things that ever happened to me in my boxing career.
Roy, we appreciate the time, man. Best of luck to you. Thanks for joining us.
Hey, thank you guys for having me.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.